Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about getting and listening to audiobooks, etc. Our focus item is going to be all about Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic, which has recently changed its name to Learning Ally. And we'll also be talking about Audiophile, which is a magazine for people who like audiobooks, and about how to rip a CD on your computer. First, to our tip of the week. Well, this week it's News of the Week. Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic recently changed its name to Learning Ally for a number of valid reasons. And we'd like to begin by reading excerpts from their announcement in April of 2011 from Andrew Friedman, the president and CEO of what is now called Learning Ally. He says, "I am personally reaching out to share with you the exciting news that Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic has changed its name to Learning Ally. Changing the name of an institution such as Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, with its rich history and tremendous network of 300,000 members, is not something we entered into lightly. Over the past year, we have worked closely with scores of students, parents, teachers, volunteers, and others to explore the current state of the organization and chart its future. First and foremost, this transformation has been driven by our members. Our research and focus groups reveal that the most significant reasons for change come directly from individuals just like you. Our member community is more diverse than ever before, including individuals with many different kinds of learning disabilities where access and reading are barriers to their learning. The broad community of individuals in the U.S. who, quote, learn differently, unquote, has grown significantly, and a portion of these individuals are neither blind nor dyslexic. Our current name limits our ability to reach the wider base of individuals who could benefit from our services. And most significant of all, a universal issue expressed by the vast majority of our members surveyed is that they don't want to be typecast. And so they've changed their name, and they encourage you to visit their new website at www.learningally.org. That's all one word. And they've got free membership opportunities, free software. They have a new Apple app, which makes their books compatible with your favorite Apple device, but otherwise it's the same old RFBND that we all knew and loved. And we'll be talking more about their services in our focus item that will come up in a few minutes.
I received an announcement about this from RFBND, being a subscriber of theirs, a couple of weeks ago, and I was a bit confused. I thought maybe you had the name wrong, because JAWS pronounced this slightly differently. It pronounced them as Learning Ally. And so I've got that stuck in my mind now. So I decided to do a little test with the various speech synthesizers that are available in JAWS. And this precipitated a little disagreement between the various speech synthesizers, between Eloquence, the default synthesizer, and Samantha, the speech synthesizer that introduces this show.
Eloquence will be the male voice here.
Okay, let me give this a shot, : Learning Ally, how is that?
Terrible. Try again. Sounds like Learning Ally.
Okay, once more, : Learning Ally.
Not much better. Sounds like Learning Ally.
Okay, I give up. Can you do any better?
Of course. Learning Ally. Ha ha ha. At least I can say Learning Ally properly.
So some of the JAWS voices get it correctly and some of them don't. So I actually wrote a note to RFBND after I got this announcement from them and said, you know, this is a problem if your name is being mispronounced by the more popular screen readers and voices that are around. And fortunately, they were aware of the problem, and they were going to work with the screen reader developers to try to straighten out the issues and get the pronunciations fixed. And hopefully we'll see that fixed before this really sticks in my mind and I can never refer to them as Learning Ally again.
So when you put together the audio clips of Samantha introducing us, you had to spell our names strangely to get her to pronounce it correctly. But here you didn't adjust the spelling of Learning Ally at all, did you?
Well, yeah, actually, for Samantha, she actually produced Learning Ally properly. And it was the eloquence voice that gave the problem, and it would pronounce learning ally differently depending on the punctuation that was after it. So sometimes if I put a comma or a semicolon after ally, it would pronounce it as ally or something else. And so it was very sensitive to that. So I actually had it in the Samantha, I had to put in some different spelling to make her sound like the incorrectness that eloquence was giving. But there are actually, in these screen readers, there are custom dictionaries, and I suspect that the screen readers in their next versions will put in some custom dictionary entry for the word ally, and hopefully that'll be fixed.
Let's hope. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about audiophile. Now, audiophile is actually several things, and they're all closely related. Fundamentally, it's a magazine, and I'm holding a print copy of the magazine. Not surprisingly, they also have a web presence, which is www.audiophilemagazine.com. So that was all one word, audiophilemagazine.com. And in addition, just as Viewpoints is a half-hour program that's broadcast every Wednesday and repeated every Sunday to the WXXI Reach Out Radio audience and available as a podcast to anybody after the fact, there's also another half-hour weekly show called Audiophile that is broadcast to the Rochester, New York Reading Service audience, and it's all interlinked. There's a volunteer, Sandy Henschel, who's a reviewer for the magazine, but also was a volunteer here at WXXI Reach Out Radio. And she reads articles from the magazine, and these are broadcast and later available as podcast. And so we have Audiophile, the broadcast, Audiophile, the podcast, Audiophile, the magazine, but they're all closely interrelated.
And I should point out, I wanted to say that the Audiophile, when I was listening to this in JAWS, reviewing the show notes beforehand, I assumed it was Audiophile, P-H-I-L-E, but it turns out it's F-I-L-E, just so people are clear when they're looking for the website or for the podcast.
Good point. And you can get to the podcast for Audiophile the same way you get to the podcast for Viewpoints. You go to wxxi.org/reachout, click on podcasts, and you'll see a list. And Audiophile is another one of these shows. And here's the little blurb describing it. Each week, listeners will hear reviews of books available in audio format from the pages of Audiophile magazine. Audiophile reviewer and Reach Out Radio volunteer Sandy Henschel knows firsthand the excitement of listening to a book on tape. Now you can find out what's available in audio format in the areas of fiction, history, biography, science fiction, mystery, and classics. You'll also hear interviews with the authors and audio narrators. You don't want to miss it.
You know, it's a great idea to have this all collected in one place because, as you said, there are so many different sources of audio material these days. CDs, downloads, different producers, different websites downloading these things. And it can be quite a chore to hunt for all the different places. So this is really great to have it all in one place.
Each issue covers 2 months, so in this issue, I happen to pick out one particular book, Brian Greene's brand new book, The Hidden Reality. And they've got a little focus article about Brian Greene. It's a couple of pages long. They've got a very terse summary of the book. So just as an example of what kind of information they have in here, it says, The Hidden Reality, Parallel Universes, and the Deep Laws of the Cosmos.
Ooh.
Written by Brian Greene. Read by Brian Greene. And then it says, Random House Audio, 14.5 hours, unabridged. The trade edition ISBN number, the books on tape, library edition ISBN number. And so anything you want to know about a particular book so that you can get hold of it is right here in the magazine. And, you know, Sandy reads all of this every week. It takes her about 8 or 10 weeks to cover each issue, and that keeps her right up in pace with the print magazine.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
this week's focus topic is on another format of accessible reading material. In this particular session, we'll be talking about what used to be called recording for the blind and dyslexic, but as we just said earlier in the show, they're now called Learning Ally. Over the years, you've made great use of their services, haven't you, Pete?
Well, yeah, I used to use them when I was in school, in graduate school, and then also even after graduate school to find special reading material. A lot of their material is geared towards professionals and educational uses, so they're a little bit more specialized than many of the books that you would get, for example, from the Library of Congress or from commercial sources. So, for example, when I went to graduate school, I needed books in quantum mechanics and mathematical physics and things like that. And this isn't something you generally pick off the shelf in Barnes & Noble's in an audio format. One of the nice things about what was then Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic was that if they did not have a book recorded, they would actually manage to get the book recorded for you if you needed it. And generally what you would do was give them two copies of the book, so they'd have one for the reader and one for the proofreader, and then they would find someone to volunteer to read it a chapter at a time and deliver it to you as it was recorded, and then they'd keep it in their library for other people who wanted it. And even now sometimes I use them, because what'll happen is, you know, we're in various books groups with many of our retired scientist friends, and although we often read scientific books that are just geared towards the general population, every once in a while one of the books might be a little bit more specialized, and I just can't find it at NLS or Bookshare. But often, Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, or Learning Ally, would have that book. So that comes in quite handy, even if you're not a student.
And they've been keeping right up with the times. When you were in graduate school, you used to get them on tape. So that was in the late 1970s, and then they switched to mailing CDs back and forth, and now you've got lots of options.
Right. They've instituted the past few years the ability to be able to download their books and to listen to them either on a Windows computer, if you download a WMA version of the file, or if you download the DAISY version, you can read them on such devices as a Bookport or a Victor Reader Stream. So this way you don't have to wait. Yeah, their turnaround was pretty good with the CDs, but this way you don't even have to wait a week or two to get your book. You can just find a book and within a couple of hours be able to download it onto your device. So that's really quite handy. The other interesting way they've kept up with technology is to realize with these more sophisticated specialty players that not only will they read audio, but they're capable of doing text. And sometimes it's handy to have the audio and the text available at one time. So for example, it's one thing to read an equation or to speak some words, but if you want to see the formatting of things, see an equation or see the spelling of the words, it's nice if you can flip back and forth between the audio and text renditions of a book at one time. And some of the newer devices are starting to do that. That will be a feature in some future release of the Bookport firmware, I'm led to believe, from their website. And some other devices can already do this. So for instance, if you're looking at some of these devices with the proper kind of software in Windows, you may be able to see the book in Braille while you're listening to it, someone reading it.
So, you know, Pete's been telling me for years about how when he's reading a book, you know, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, that he often has trouble remembering or even deciphering the characters' names. I mean, it's one thing if they're names that we're familiar with, you know, if the lead characters are named Pete and Nancy, we can pretty much catch those. But if it's anything more complicated than that, sometimes if you're listening in audio only, especially at the breakneck speed that he listens to books, it's hard to catch the names. And in the DAISY format, you can actually use this feature where you can tell the spelling of the name. It makes it easier to remember who the characters are.
Right. That's one of the important advantages of using DAISY and their new extended format. That's a very nice feature.
So you've got some examples of RFB and D Learning Ally books here.
Right. The reason for showing you some of the examples is that with these books formatted in DAISY, you're able to navigate very easily to different parts of the books. So, for example, with the tapes, you used to have to fast forward and rewind, and although they'd put beeps for page markers and things like that, it was still a nuisance to find a particular chapter or a particular page. But with the DAISY format, there are navigation shortcuts or keys on something like a Bookport or a Victor Reader Stream to easily navigate from one page to another, navigate to a specific page, navigate to a specific section. You can put bookmarks in there with little notes and stuff like that. So it's almost like having a real book. So I put together some examples. The first thing that we have here is what you first listen to when you start reading a particular book from Reading Ally.
Elementary Differential Equations, 9th edition.
About this RFB&D Audio Plus book. This RFB&D Audio Plus book has been digitally indexed for enhanced book navigation. Major divisions in the book, such as chapters or units, may be accessed by setting the level navigation on your player to level 1. Changing the level setting on your player to other levels, such as level 2 or level 3, may access lower level divisions in the book, such as sections and subsections. Specific pages may be accessed either directly with the Go to Page function or using the Next and Previous Page functions on your player. Please refer to your player's operating manual for more detailed navigation instructions.
This was a little snippet from the beginning of an advanced math book on differential equations. As I said, at the beginning of each book from Learning Ally, they have a little description of how you can use the book and use your special device, whatever you're reading the book with, to navigate around and how it's marked up.
So there were actually two voices there. The first one, the female, was the woman who was going to be reading the rest of the book, and then the man explaining all the instructions for working the book.
The next thing we have is a little snippet of just me reading and navigating to different parts of the book, showing how these books can be read on a device like the Bookport, which I'm using in this little demo here, and I'll show you how to get to a specific page, how I can speed up the listening of the book, etc.
Go to page 350. Enter page 350.
Page 350. By the convolution theorem, we can write equation 28, psi of t equals the integral from 0 to t of h of the quantity t minus tau times g of tau d tau, where h of t equals script L inverse of cap h of s, and g of t is the given forcing function.
Go to page 442. Enter page 442.
Page 442 is blank. Page 443, Chapter 8, Numerical Methods. Up to this point, we have discussed methods for solving differential equations.
Now we'll speed up a little bit.
Using analytical techniques such as integration or series expansions. Usually the emphasis was on finding an exact expression for the solution. Unfortunately, there are many important problems in engineering and science, especially nonlinear ones, to which these methods either do not apply.
Go to bookmark. Set bookmark. Press enter key to set bookmark or record key to set voice bookmark. Enter. Setting bookmark 1. Completed.
So we have a bookmark placed where I stopped reading over there. And I didn't expect anybody to understand the equations and the content of the book, but I just wanted to demonstrate that they're not shy of reading very technical material that, you know, may only be of interest to some, you know, people who are really specializing in the field. But there are also a whole host of books in various areas, psychology, sociology, literature, and things like that.
They have fewer equations.
Right. Also, in many of the books with figures, they have the readers fully describe the figures so that you really get an idea of what's in the book. So you tried reading for them once when you were in graduate school, didn't you?
Oh, I didn't get as far as trying to read for them. I auditioned, and they rejected me, and I was very deeply hurt.
It's hard for me to believe, because you're an excellent reader these days.
Well, that was before I met you, and I didn't have as much experience reading scientific stuff out loud. But, you know, it's good that they audition people. It's good that they're fussy. You could tell this equation was a little bit complicated. Trust me, they get more complicated. And the symbols aren't always English characters either. You heard a number of Greek characters in that equation. It's tricky to get it right so that the listener can understand what the equation is. And in technical material, getting the equations right is crucial.
Right. And it's really very nice to know that there are all host of volunteers who are willing to contribute their time and their effort into doing these things to help the rest of us out.
So recently I applied to them. I figured now I've got all this experience reading to Pete and I've got all this free time because I'm retired and I don't spend my whole life putting together Viewpoints shows. And so I contacted them again and I asked, can I be a reader? You know, I'm qualified. I can talk. And they said, well, that would be great, but you're not within 300 miles of any of our studios, so forget it. But they're trying to put something together where they get the books in text and they use automatic text-to-speech for reading the book. They're trying to put something together where they're having remote volunteers describing the figures as kind of a augmentation of the captions. And I think they haven't actually gotten that started because they've accepted me as a volunteer for that, but I haven't yet seen a single figure to try to describe. So we'll see how that works. And I think, you know, it's another way of using newer technology to get more books into the hands of people who can't otherwise read them in print. Now for this week's high-tech item, ripping a CD on your computer in order to convert it into some format you can read without an actual CD player. So oftentimes if there's a book that I want to read in audio format, I'll first attempt to download it from the library website. That's by far my preferred method, but they have a different collection of books on physical CDs than they do have available for download. And so sometimes I'll get a book on physical CD and then I have to convert it into an MP3 file so I can play it on my MP3 player. To do that, what you do is called ripping the CD. So there are a number of different ways to do this. I just use the default on my computer. I use Windows Media Player because I've got a Windows computer and it's relatively straightforward. You know, you just put the CD in the CD player and you open up Windows Media Player and you hit a button or two that says you want to rip it and they ask you where to put the files. And
in fact, sometimes if you put a CD in your computer, the computer will pop up a dialogue that asks you, what do you want to do with this CD? Do you want to play it? Do you want to rip it? And other options.
So there are other methods you can use. There's a free CD ripper that's available from focussoft.net.
And there are lots of free CD rippers and tools like that on the web. And if you want to look for others, I would go to Google, do a search, type in rip CD or CD ripper, and you'll come up with a whole host of these things. But, you know, if there's one provided in Windows, like Windows Media Player, that's usually pretty good.
Now, there is one potential pitfall we need to warn you about because I've run into
it. And you've run into it, yes.
Repeatedly.
Yeah.
Pain in the neck. So if the people who recorded the original audio CD did everything correctly, you're golden. And you rip each CD, you get a folder or directory on your computer. It's got all of the individual tracks for that CD in order. Then you get another folder for the next CD and another folder for the next CD. And when you go to put these all on your MP3 player, everything comes out just the way you wanted it. And you have all these pseudo CDs. And well, okay, on my player, I need to manually advance from the one pseudo CD to the next pseudo CD, but it reads all the tracks in order. Well, every once in a while, I get burned.
It's not a perfect world, is it?
And what's happened is they didn't label the tracks correctly. So on disc one, we have track one, track two, track three, etc. On disc two, we also have track one, track two, track three. Disc three, same thing. And guess what gets transferred? Doesn't matter how good it looks in my Windows Explorer directory structure. On my computer, when I copy exactly that onto my MP3 player, what do I get? Track one, track one, track one, track one, track one.
Not
however
helpful.
Many CDs there were, I could have 17 track ones, and then I'll get 17 track twos and 17 track threes, let me tell you. It's hard to follow the storyline that way.
And I think what happens here, regardless of the file that gets put in your computer when you look at it, Windows Explorer, there are hidden tags inside the file that sometimes the MP3 players are looking at to sort the information into what they think are the proper categories. So not only do they have to get the file names right when they're making these CDs, but all the tags that are inside each file. So there are ways around that you found, right?
Yeah, I just suffer.
Well, some of them are harder
than others.
Sometimes
I relabel the tracks.
Or sometimes what you can do is you've used those utilities that will merge all the files from a particular directory into one file.
I confess I haven't actually done that yet. Pete keeps trying to help me out, and he keeps telling me about different utilities that I can use to do that. But I've been having more success downloading books, and I've been not running into this problem, so I haven't been motivated to fix it yet. But one of the ways he told me ought to work is something called Merge MP3, and that's available at www.shuka.com. I have no idea how to pronounce that, but it's spelled S-H-C-H-U-K-A.com. And you're welcome to try it, and maybe if I ever get around to doing it, I'll be able to tell you how well it worked.
Yeah, I didn't give the full URL where to download that because it's kind of complicated, but if you go to that shuka.com website and in their search field type in Merge MP3, you'll get a direct link to the download of that program.
So that's it for this week's show. Next week's theme will be about actually doing science. We're retired scientists, so we like to talk about that. We'll be talking about some accessible professional tools like MATLAB and Maple. We'll be talking about viewers for more recent versions of files that people may send you if you don't have the up-to-date versions of Office, and some science books for the general public. And we're excited. We'll be talking to Rebecca again. You may or may not remember Rebecca from a couple of months ago. She's a high school student that we talked to about getting through school with a visual impairment and how we'd been coaching her through science fair season. Well, she's going to the Intel International Science Fair competition in Los Angeles, all expenses paid, thank you. And we will be interviewing her shortly after she gets back, and that's going to be on next week's show. She is bound to have some great stories. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to us at reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333. We'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.